Hello, and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with baseball writers and authors, artists and musicians, filmmakers, basically anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. In addition to his solo work, such as one of my favorites, Cult Baseball Players, The Greats, The Flakes, The Weird and the Wonderful, Danny Perry knows how to work nice with other people. He served as co-author on memoirs such as Ralph Kiner's Baseball Forever, Reflections on 60 Years in the Game, as well as an overview of the sport on Tim McCarver's Baseball for Brain Surgeons and Other Fans. Perry also teamed up with Tom Clavin on biographies about almost forgotten stars of the game in Roger Maris, Baseball's Reluctant Hero, and Gil Hodges, The Brooklyn Bums, The Miracle Mets, and The Extraordinary Life of a Baseball Legend. But it's another thing to have thousands of collaborators. That's one way to describe Perry's newest release, Baseball Immortal, Derek Jeter, A Career in Quotes. In a sense, the Jeter book is like a Reader's Digest version, with all the highlights without having to go through the entire stories. Maybe it's more like reading the salutations in a high school yearbook. We discuss the challenges of putting such a project together, as well as the possibility for future volumes along the same lines.
Danny Perry, welcome back to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Always nice to talk to you.
So this is quite an accomplishment, putting together a book of quotes about the soon-to-be, if he's not already, legendary Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I think
how
he was.
How long did
I think
this
he is a legend.
Put together?
Well, the idea has been in my head a really long time, but it wasn't necessarily for Derek Jeter. I've been the book I'm working on now is part of this series which began with Derek Jeter, and it's called The Baseball Immortals. And I wanted to do a Jackie Robinson book, which I'm working on now, but in 2014, as everybody in New York particularly knows, all the talk was about Derek Jeter and his career, and people looking back on their memories, recalling when they first met Derek Jeter and when they first played with him or whatever, and it was just all in the news the whole year, particularly when you did the tour. And I said, you know, this is really interesting. I wonder how it would be if I put all these quotes together of what people are saying now about Derek Jeter in 2013, 14, and 15, and how they looked back in the past and talked about him then. And then also mixing those quotes with the original quotes that I found from, you know, when Derek Jeter was just a high school student, what the local papers in Kalamazoo, Michigan were saying. So I thought he was like the perfect person at the time to put together what I love to do is oral histories, but this book is all quotes, you know, beginning from when he was a young kid until now. His life corresponds basically to his career, because he's still just like 40 years old, and So that was the idea I had, and I think it took me 5 months of, you know, of intense work putting together all this. I had a researcher going to Kalamazoo, or at least talking to the librarians there, and to all the various libraries at the minor league teams he played for in Albany and Greensboro and Columbus. So we just put together this really interesting story, compelling, I think, dating back to when he was 5 years old and said, "I want to be a shortstop for the New York Yankees," until now. And it was an experiment, and I think it works.
Yes.
And but I do want to say it wasn't just like that. I wanted to do this form in oral histories, which I love, and I've done various kinds of oral histories. But I had a great appreciation for Derek Jeter. It wasn't just switching Jackie Robinson to Derek Jeter because he's in the news. But I have had such a – I'm not a Yankee fan, as you probably remember, but I have just really admired this unique ball player who played the game right and with such respect and appreciation for, you know, for the game itself and its history, and also just played with his mind. And, you know, I've been watching baseball since I was, you know, 3 years old in the early 1950s. And he's a unique individual, and I do have a real appreciation for him.
Now, this book is almost 400 pages, I imagine, more than 350, certainly. Give me an estimate. How many quotes are in this book?
There are a couple thousand. A couple thousand, and you know, when I tell people I'm doing a quote book on Derek Jeter, they say, "Oh, I'll read it overnight." And it's a real book. I mean, it's like a real oral history. You know, just one quote after another, and it just takes you through. Some quotes are very short. Some are even like headlines of newspapers, but some of them have a lot of substance to them. And it's a real read. And and what I've loved is people telling me it's a page turner. So almost like it's a real story about this guy starting as a kid, and it becomes like an epic adventure through a 20-year career in the major leagues.
Now, out of all those, with all those in, how many were left out?
Well, I'm going to say that, and that's some. I'm actually having a harder time with Jackie Robinson because he had a much longer life. But I will say in the Jeter book very proudly that all the good quotes are there. If I left out a quote, it's basically the same quote I could find anywhere else. And you know, I'll say this with a little jest, is with Derek Jeter, who's not never known for being very revealing of himself, and it was always very close to the vest and very protective of image and all that kind of stuff. A Derek Jeter quote from like 1992 would be almost identical to something he would say 20 years later. It's kind of funny. It's like almost word for word, he would say the same thing year after year after year after year, and it was very deliberate on its part. Being very protective, so I think all the gems by, you know, the book is quotes, and make it clear it's quotes by Derek Jeter and everybody else about Derek Jeter. Every quote has the name Jeter in it, or is a quote by Jeter. So it's an interesting project for me as an editor.
So how was it putting this thing together? What kind of sources did you use for these quotes?
Well, it's lots of newspaper clippings, you know, from various sorts, all the New York newspapers, because they obviously played in New York. So you have all the Post and the Times and the Daily News, lots and lots of quotes from them. But as I said, we have stuff from the Columbus papers, from the Kalamazoo Gazette with I looked at videos from when he was a minor league ball player, like 18 years old, and I would take quotes from there, and I would have quotes from the like general manager of Columbus and the official historian of Columbus, and they said something interesting and revealing about Jeter. I would write it down. I mean, it's basically, there's a lot of just me sitting, watching things, and with my pencil and writing things down. Very unprofessional, but kind of fun. I love doing research, which is why I like to do these oral histories. So anyway, I have quotes from like many papers from different states, and all the articles from magazines, you know, the Sports Illustrated interviews. A big interview in Playboy, where he, I guess he's not more revealing than in other places, but he does talk about different things. And so there's a wide variety, and as I said, it covers, you know, 35 years of clippings and things like that. It's kind of interesting.
The book follows a general chronological order, but it seems it's almost like a puzzle putting it together, finding the things that
exactly
make the slot.
Exactly. You know, I have the term I used through the 5 months. This is a giant puzzle, and just seeing how everything. I'm trying to make everything flows. I've written books myself, as you know, but I consider myself actually a better editor, and I love putting together one quote that follows another quote that follows another quote, and you know, clipping the words so it sounds like one quote leads into another quote, even if it's by two completely different people. And then, as you said, it goes chronologically, but there are a lot of sidebars where I'll come to a subject, Jeter and his parents. He talks about his parents all the time. That's his favorite subject, to just how much appreciation and respect and how much he followed the lessons of his parents. So there were actually two sidebars, one when he was a kid, and also one when he was already a professional ball player, and he still had the exact, exact same respect. See, I think one of the interesting things I did to these co-authored these two, as you remember, biographies of Roger Maris and Gil Hodges. And what they have in common with Derek Jeter is they were basically, their personalities were formed when they were kids. They really did not get off the beaten track at all. And Derek Jeter is very similar to who he was as a kid. It's just very little variation. And although, you know, he sort of took over what his father was, his father, you know, being fatherly and being not, his father is more of a disciplinarian than Jeter is, although Jeter swears he'll be, have a lot of discipline for his own kids. But it's interesting that way. But anyway, in terms of what you're saying, in the form of the book, there are a lot of I'll have sidebars about the relationship between Jeter and Joe Torre, and Jeter and George Steinbrenner, and various people. Then in dealing with almost every topic, his hitting, his fielding, the criticism of his fielding by the sabermetrics people. So there are lots and lots. Every topic on Derek Jeter is covered, and it's all covered in quotes, which is kind of interesting.
Now, in doing all the research, and as you say, you're not a big Yankee fan, you're very respectful of Jeter and what he represents and what he's accomplished. Was there something you found out about him that you never knew before, something that surprised you?
As Joel Sherman says, he's the one guy we all know and know nothing about, basically. I think it's his sensitivity and kind of a defense for why he never spoke to anybody. I mean, that's the curious. Why did he give? He was always available for journalists, but never said anything, which is the main thing. And I seem to come across just a lot of the thing about him being able to be a winner for the very reason that he didn't want to speak to journalists, because he thought they brought out negativity, which is really true about us. It seems like most questions are about negativity, and he thrived on positivity. He just didn't want to talk about anything negative. And he's a guy who had no fear of failure, but he was very cognizant of how he could function and thrive. And it was basically, I can't answer that question because it's a negative question, that kind of stuff. And this is like I was very fascinated. I've always been fascinated by Jeter. In the same way, my last book was a collaboration on the autobiography of Shannon Miller, the Olympic gymnast, and I was very interested in what makes a champion, what makes a winner, and Jeter really is exactly the same as Shannon Miller's, you know, somebody who's just never satisfied and completely humble and never stopped to celebrate very long any kind of success, because you're always looking at the next day and you're always striving for perfection and also getting all the negative thoughts out. And it's interesting what makes a champion, in the sense that over and over again, Jeter through his career, and I was, this is, and it's surprising, is, you know, it's not just the sabermetrics people, but so many people just took glee in criticizing Derek Jeter, you know, and was interesting, you know, saying you're not really the most talented player, and Jeter always shrugged it off because he knew he wasn't the most talented player. He just thought, I could beat you anyway, but with my mind, and I know how to win, and I'm going to pretend I'm the best player on the field. And by his pretending, he made all the people, all the players around him, as they say, he said he made us think we were a better team than we really were. And it's really kind of fascinating how this guy, these people criticize him, you're not as talented as you think you are, and he would shrug it off because he would think, I know I'm not that talented, and that's why I work as hard as I do. And that's what Shannon Miller did. They thought, I can outwork, I don't have the talent, and they thought this from when they were little kids, but I can outwork anybody. And one of my favorite quotes is by Jeter, is just, it's easy to work hard. And I being a lazy person myself, you know, so, I thought, no, it's not easy to work hard. It's not easy to work hard. And that's what he would do. He would work harder than anybody. And that's what it takes. That's what it took for Derek Jeter, who doesn't have the talent of Alex Rodriguez, to be the best and be the winner and have all those rings. And that all fascinated me about Jeter, and the fact that so many people were criticizing him all through his career. You can't do this, you can't do that, and boy, you're a lousy fielder. And he didn't care what they said, you know. And then people just try, you know, the joy that they, you know, even Keith Olbermann at the end of his Jeter's career, saying Jeter's not the best. He's not even, you know, he's not even the 10th best Yankee, you know, that kind of stuff. And Jeter didn't care about this, you know, because, you know, he remembered when he made 56 errors the second year in the minor leagues. He knew he knew he wasn't the greatest fielder, but he worked hard and became what I think is above average fielder. So he basically, he is the example of the flaws in sabermetrics fielding, the fielding statistics used.
Now, you've mentioned the other books you've written, the oral histories, the biographies. How does putting together something like this compare with your previous projects?
Well, what's interesting is my previous projects, the Maris and the Hodges, and I did Ralph Kiner's autobiography with him. Which is a little bit the same on this one. The Hodges and Maris book is I went out and interviewed all these people. I added to the literature that was already out there. I got new quotes to go with the old quotes. For Jeter, I used only old quotes. I mean, that was my interest. How was Jeter portrayed through his whole life? What were people saying right at the beginning about Jeter? I mean, in terms of his talent and his personality. And basically people, all the scouts, including Dick Rochford, the guy who really discovered Jeter, they all combined the two, the talent and the personality. And that's where they knew they had something special that... You know, growing up, even his high school coach would say, "I heard about this guy in Little League, this really great player in Little League." And so that's the big difference is that, this is all past material. I mean, material going up to 2015 this year. Some of the final quotes are from 2015. But for the other books, I would go around and add to the new quotes to old quotes. That's the big difference, For Maris, I went to Fargo, North Dakota, where he was from, and from Gil Hodges, I went to Petersburg, Indiana, to say where he was from. So that's the difference.
Now the book is published by
Page Street Publishing, which is a little company up in Boston who's distributed by Macmillan. So that's, everybody knows Macmillan Publishing.
Now, how did you come to work with them?
The guy who runs Page had worked at a company that published one of my previous books in New York, my oral history of baseball between 1947 and 1964. We played the game, and they had published a version of that. Will Keister's the name of the guy, and he remembered. I mean, he really, really liked that book, and he was looking for baseball writers on ideas, and he had some ideas for books. And then I said, this oral history idea of quotes is something I really wanted to do. There was a book by Gene Stein years ago on Edie Sedgwick, Andy Warhol person who eventually they made a movie about. It was Sienna Miller, and I love that book. And that's an oral history with quotes. And that's my big influence. So I wanted to do this with a baseball player, or many baseball players. So that was what I told him, and he liked the idea. So we did my books instead of his books.
And will they be doing the Robinson book too? Can you
say they are? We are doing the Robinson book, which is geared for next year. I think for Father's Day. So I'm busy working on that now. I have piles and piles of material from the Cooperstown. What I should have said earlier is I got a lot of the material for the Derek Jeter, a lot of clippings sent to me by the archives at Cooperstown, and they sent me more the Jackie Robinson material, which is twice as much as Derek Jeter. So because a lot longer life and a lot different aspects to his career. But Jeter is surprisingly fascinating. And one of the reasons I really want to do this Jeter book and do it the way – through quotes and basically eyewitnesses to his whole career is having done the Roger Maris and the Gil Hodges book, I just realized how time really destroys reputations and how a value of a ball player goes down in over the years. One think that with Derek Jeter, you know, he'll be in 5 years, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, but over time, he's a very hard player to explain to anybody other than the, you know, 3,465 hits. There's not a lot of stuff you can point to other than the hits, you know, all the 200 hit seasons, but his other stats, other than maybe runs scored, aren't remarkable. So you don't get a full picture of Derek Jeter in the future. People say, what was all the fuss about over Derek Jeter? And that's why I want this book to be all eyewitnesses to how dynamic and what a winner Derek Jeter was and what a special player he was and how he was admired at the time by everybody on his team and by opponents, and they all had such respect. Because I wish I had that with, I was around when Roger Maris played and Gil Hodges played, and the view of them nowadays is a lot different than it really was in the revisionist history. So, as I said, Derek Jeter is really hard to explain just with stats, and so I got the words to prove, you know, what a unique individual he was, a unique ball player.
And the book is Baseball Immortal, Derek Jeter, A Career in Quotes, and we've been talking to its author, Danny Perry. Danny, thanks very much for talking with us.
Always great talking to you, Ron. Thank you.
And that was the Bookshelf Conversation with Danny Perry. Tune in again next time when our guest will be Lonnie Wheeler, author of Intangibles, The Subtle Things That Win Baseball Games. And remember, for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews, visit ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com or send me a note at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Said, boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a wonder.